Hello, I'm Isabellen, and this is The Late Night. I just sent out, is that going to work? I just sent out tweets and I'm not sure if they worked. This is the late night version of Stories for Adults. I'm hopping on and doing a live stream, mostly just to give you a quick update of what is what I'm doing, what is happening. It's actually been a couple of weeks since I posted anything, and I wanted to do a little check-in, because then it might be, and I might go for a week, and then I'm not sure what is going to happen. I'm going to be away from my mic. I do have some recordings that I did with Reggie Six Sheets, and he is posting some on his. We might double post. I've been so indecisive about what I want to do with Reggie as a co-host. He's been wonderful to sit in and with me and let me torture him while we have some very special guests and ask them some fun questions. So I don't know what I've been trying to be like, what do I want to do? Do I want to keep podcasting? Do I want to stop doing this? It is time consuming. And then I tell like 5-10 people, I'm never doing it again. I'm done. I'm over it. I'm no longer going to do this. So, and then somebody says, hey, podcasting. I'm like, oh, I have a podcast. Do you want to come on my podcast? Oh my gosh, would you please come on my podcast? Oh, I forgot you have a book coming out. Come on my podcast. I am so indecisive. Why would I stop? It's time consuming and I get obsessive about it, even though I'm not a perfectionist about getting guests and you know, posting who's on what and promoting and all of that. And that takes time to make all those little graphics in Canva and all that. And and then I'm on Twitter and then I get distracted and I'm chasing squirrels and I don't know what I'm doing. And that's why I would stop. Why would I keep going? Because, oh my gosh, I meet amazing people. I get to have amazing conversations about their personal stories. I get to go to various countries and listen to amazing accents. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but I hunt down and kind of really enjoy certain voices. And that's why I keep doing it, because I'm like, I heard a voice and I'm like, oh, I want to do a podcast. Would you do an interview and a reading with me? Nobody ever asked me to read for them. Am I really that terrible? I might be. I don't know. I'm just so puffed up, full of myself, that I think I'm the best reader ever. But I heard Doc on there is a Discord that a Discord that I have started following, and I'm never going to remember the name of it. I can actually look at the actual Discord. Lingerie Literature Club. And they sort of relate to and very much in enjoy some of the audio artists out there, and Doc is one of them who I recently listened to. It's an adult thing, and you need to, they've got a cool age verification in this Discord. And an English gentleman is there, and there's some other really amazing people, and Ben of In My Hands Audio is going to do a reading there, and so is Quincy. But I heard Doc read some poetry, and I was like, ooh, I want to talk to Doc. I want to have an interview. So, And that's the thing, right? That's kind of what I did. And then I'm like, my friend Posey, who I had an interview, and apparently I'm calling her Polly. I'm like, sometimes my brain shuts down and my mouth keeps going. Am I the only one? Okay, come on, be honest. Tell me, am I the only one? Because lordy, lordy, good. I don't, my brain just shuts down and my mouth keeps going, and weird stuff comes out all the time. And it's a little maddening and not fun and kind of embarrassing. And I mean, I swear my brain has typos. This is why I have such a problem with the editing people, because my brain typos. And everybody will say that. Every writer will say that. But how many writers say things and they don't realize they're saying it until you play it back? Do we all do that? Is that just an age thing? What is that? Some such issues. Yeah, poor me, poor me. So that's where I'm at. I've done some interviews with Reggie. We interviewed Glyza from Classical Glyza. Is that? I don't have a list in front of me. I didn't write it down, so I'm not going to remember anything. We interviewed Classical Glyza on who has been reading literature. She's been reading Alice in Wonderland this last season. I went and finally was folding laundry today and took some time to listen and look at the art. I want an artist to make art for my episodes. Are you an artist? I need to know more artists. I've got this audio community thing, but I would so love to meet an art, you know, get into that art community. I do art. It's crappy, but I do art. I make art journal pages. I actually have shared some around somewhere from my recent art journal that it's almost finished. I just need to add a few more lines of poetry, but it's just more or less finished. But I would love to, turn Choosing Her Alpha, my first book, into a online digital comic. I think it would be great. It's got a good storyline. I think it would be awesome. The other thing is I had a book come out. Finding Her Luck came out. The cover, I love the color cover, but I think I've been talking about, do I want a plain cover? Do I want a cover with a couple? It was kind of back and forth. I kind of still want a plain couple. A plain cover. In fact, when Caught Finding Balance comes out, it is going to have they're not going to be people on the cover. No people. It's going to have, if we can get an artist, if not, it's just going to have the title and something. I don't know. But if we can get an artist, there's a scene, there's a special library in that story that comes alive when Annika walks into it. And there's that is, I would love to have like some of the carvings on the walls on the cover and kind of spelling out, you know, I don't know. What am I talking about? So I came on to give you this update. You'll be able to find podcasts on Six Sheets at Six Official Podcast on Spotify, and they're everywhere else. iTunes, Google, this, that, the other thing, you know, all that, all the places. You can find the interview there. And they actually, you know, I've kept my interview area. I didn't want anybody to, I was afraid I'd get banned. Maybe I should go ahead and set things up. If they're on there, maybe I should set things up. You'll be able to find an interview with me there. You'll be able to find an interview with Posey Church Kate and some of her projects. She has a book on a piece in a massive, beautiful, like highly professional anthology coming out. Oh, good Lord. I didn't write it down, so I don't know. She has Tantalizing Tales. It's a new Medium page, which she is collaborating with More Matters and other writers that is erotica and stories and wonderful. And so that interview is coming out. My interview is coming out. An interview with Glyza is coming out. And then around Valentine's Day, I got to interview your textual, I think it's BF, boyfriend, on Twitter, because he did a marvelous, really simple, really clear, really interesting thread on Twitter on how to sext, because that's kind of how he got started. He builds these stories around sexting, and he's like, there's some basic etiquette, some basic when, you know, when and who and how, and navigating the pauses and interacting and giving your partner time to grow. And oh, it was a good interview. It actually went for two sessions. What do we mean by two sessions? Okay, people, this is the other thing. We, with Reggie, I've been interviewing on Zoom. I can do this myself, but the problem is if I do it myself and I forget to hit record, oh my gosh. But I've been interviewing on Zoom, which means that you don't have to do live interviews anymore, that I can record it universally all over the world. I can record the interview, download it, edit it, and then post it. I don't have to edit it. I could put it, slap that sucker right on up, but you know, I could edit it and then delay or post that day or whatever. Zoom, doing on Zoom gives me some flexibility that I didn't have before. And it gives me a chance to have, that's how I'm co-hosting with Reggie, because he can use his good mic. All you audio people who want to get on and use your good mic, Scotsman, evil Scotsman, I'm talking to you, Scott, and Quincy and everyone else, you can do that now through Zoom, and it sounds pretty good. It's pretty awesome. If there are people in the room, I have just been chatting away looking at Twitter. Hi, Tom. Hi, Vlad. Hi, you guys. Good afternoon. I wish Podbean would give me notifications when people go live. It should if you're subscribed. If you are subscribed, you should get notifications. I have said all the things I wanted to say, kind of updating where I am on the podcast. I can't talk. I hope I sound good. I hope I'm not blasting out. This is actually live with my new mic, and I'm still not quite happy, you know. I don't know if I'm doing the mic thing right, but it is, at least it's not. No notice for you. Oh, Tom, you need to check your phone. That's the other thing, but you should get, you sound great. Oh, thank you, Tom. So the other thing I was going to do was I was going to read, and I was either going to read from one of my books, or I was going to read some poetry. I don't have any. I mean, I do. I have poetry that seven, and I wrote back and forth. It's really fun, but I don't have any. There were some writers, some beloved writers on besides seven. Another one has disappeared without saying goodbye. I just, gentlemen, Twitter etiquette. If you have interacted with a woman, even in your main feed, I don't just mean privately, but if she has interacted and said hello to you, like on a regular basis over months, over time, if she has talked to you, encouraged you, you know, written back and forth smutty poetry with you, do not disappear off of Twitter out of the blue without saying goodbye. I'm just going to leave that right there. It should be a law. thank you, Tom. I sound good. You sound, I can't hear you. Do you want to call in? You could call in if you want. The other thing, yeah, so I had these great, I never save that poetry. We write back and forth. It's really good. I think it's good. It's pretty hot. It's off the cuff. The most fun thing about writing back and forth poetry is the snap of it. I've written with Tom. We were a little bit slow, but we were crafting something really special that we knew we wanted to publish. And, but the Twitter feeds move fast and they are a ton of fun, and it stimulates my brain, even though the writing is pretty, it's a little bit steamy. Mostly I'm choosing words. I'm thinking about where I want the story to go. I am not, just so we know, I'm getting off, but what I'm getting off on is using my brain and going really quickly and trying not to have typos. If you've read anything I've ever typed, if I'm on Twitter, there's a typo. Facebook, any social media, somewhere there's a typo. But yeah, I enjoy that very much. And when somebody you do that with deletes their account, guess what? their half of the poetry is like poof. So if I don't save it, I don't have it. And some of it was really good and important to me, and blah, woe is me. Yeah, so that's where I'm at. What am I doing? Yeah, I was either going to read, or I was going to, I could read. There's also a new platform where I'm playing on a little bit. It's still really small audience. It's called Re-Echo. Okay, you guys need to stop me. I made a new Twitter account for this, for the Stories for Adults podcast, just so I could have the feed a little bit more streamlined when I share stuff. Maybe if somebody wants to find it and go and pluck it out, it'll still be there. But I'm hoping I don't spend too much time growing the audience. I get a little nutty about that kind of thing. I don't need another social media account. Oh, stop me. But there's Re-Echo, which is really cool, though, because it's got this endless amount of words. There's still some bugs. I'm supposed to be able to edit. Sometimes I can edit, sometimes I can't. It's only on a website. You can't get it on an app because they want to have the freedom to sell content and without anybody saying what kind of content they can sell. Now, my content for Not Safe for Work is pretty tame, right? I mean, I have this thing with dignity and ladylike, and even in my smut, there are words that I don't, will only play with if they're words the character would use. This Re-Echo does have all kinds of kink and smut and whatever, and that's great. Why? Because you're free to put it there. For me, I'm moving there and putting stuff there up more often because I don't like somebody telling me what I can do, what I can say, what I can think, what I can look at, what I can post. That bugs me a little bit. There's a little bit of an inner, you put me in a box and I'm going to rattle the cage. So yeah, I'm there and I'm posting poetry there, and sometimes selfies will go there. Sometimes not. Sometimes longer stuff. You don't have to put all your poetry in a thread. You don't have to put your stories in a big long thread. If you want to have a Twitter kind of Facebook style, there's no censor. Oh my gosh, people, do you know how bad the censors are on Facebook? Facebook will go through, and if you posted something 6 months, 5 years, 10 years ago, and their algorithm finally gets around to finding it, you'll get a red mark and you can have your account suspended for a certain amount of time. And they don't go through and highlight things. There's no warning. It's up to you to go back and find all that stuff. And so they changed their terms of service, tightened them, made them more family friendly, quote unquote, more controlled, censored content. And yes, I get the family friendly, but they took over. Every time a company takes over the parenting role, the arbitrary censorship drives me mad. I protected my kids from as much as I possibly could. I was not laissez-faire just because they could get into it or whatever, or because it's out there. We didn't have a TV. We introduced them to healthy books and gave them as many healthy choices and non-sexualized choices as they could until they were teenagers and a little bit older and started making their own choices. And we tried to protect them for that. We were parents and we were involved. And yes, we still missed things because that happens in this day and age, but we tried to parent. When a company tries to parent, oh gosh, I'm on a soapbox. Okay, I'm jumping off. Re-Echo currently is a lot of busty UK. That was Tom following me. The audience needs to diversify. Yes, we're working on it. The more people who want to, have a not safe for work account, want to join that. I'm jumping off my soapbox. I so don't need to be on that freedom of speech and how to parent and be a parent and don't make the companies and the schools be the parent. And oh gosh, okay, I'm backing down. What should I read? Downside of no censorship, right? Yes. I mean, you get that, but you can always block people. You can always block it because there are left-wing extremists too, and I block them also, or I mute them basically. I mean, I'm kind of middle of the road, and when things got intense this year politically, I just was done. It just felt like so much labeling. It's like the world went around with label guns and wanted to stick one on you, and if you didn't fit their label mass, you know, you were done. If you had any idea that didn't match the labels, you know, we hate you. I don't know. I mean, some of that stuff felt that way to me. Maybe it was, and that was both sides or this, that, and the other thing that was in my Twitter feed. I was just so done. I'm answering Vide's question. I'm getting too chatty, people. Stop it. There are only two people in the chat. I'm like, okay. My excuse is that it is 4:30 a.m. my time. So I have some Neruda here. I could read some somebody else's poetry, but I don't have permission, and that's a little copyright thing there. Or I could read from my book, or I could read my own poetry. I do have some stuff, I'm sure. I've got to have some. Hi, Nick. People entering that. I'm looking up some words that maybe I want to read. Some poetry. I just wrote some tonight. They're Twitter short. This is a poem I wrote for a friend. I like poetry. I am so excited that I'm going to get to maybe read with Doc and do some poetry. I think that would be really fun. Oh, I did a couple threads. Let's see if I can find them. Thank you for waiting so patiently in the silence. Silence is bad when you are a podcaster. You want to keep talking, fill in the silence. What is this? Musical interlude? Should I like fill in, just do a little musical interlude? This is a musical interlude. While I get my poop in a group, this is a musical interlude. No more soapbox stuff, okay? Everybody has their story, and their story is important. I thought this poem was good. You have to tell me, okay? It's a Twitter length. It's called Bloom Me. I wonder if you can tell what it's about. Bloom me, delicate. Heated breath unfurling layers. Commands uncurling petals. Find the seeded pearl hidden in the waiting of my radiant. Force me in your sun, this flower to open, 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 for silk to fill with moisture and stem to stiffen, reaching, richly undone and aching violent. Oops. I was thinking and reading at the same time because I think it's richly undone and arching violent, but I spelled arching wrong, and I'm just saying that now. It's either arching or aching, aching vibrant, but I'm thinking I want those last three letters deleted. I think it would be better just, and stem to stiffen, reaching, richly undone. I just wrote that tonight, and yes, I slapped it up on Twitter, and now it's there forever. I usually put them on Twitter and then edit them later. I know we're not supposed to do that, but we're supposed to be careful. Yeah, not so much. Oh, this one. We met at the Devil's Crossroads, a treeless, loamy place, where one day I opened sighs and found myself awake. After finally making change to homespun simple, I'd worn since the late 80s. And you were there, elegant, with a mask and a purring accent. an opportunity desperate, craved, since turning 13 and pricking my thumb on a thorn. I'd met many demons with me in my homespun plane, but never a demon like you, standing there in escalating lyric, eyes owl gold and wise, as witty as the crow. I'd danced with others when I shed that cotton clothing and replaced it with decadent revelation. But you are a demon with different steps, holding a cane, coiling a whip, and whispering red wine fever dreams to a woman who had vowed to never take a sip. There's more to that somewhere. I'm not going to read that though. This is the content we came for. Penguin. Thank you guys. I will read a couple more. I enjoy so much the back and forth of poetry and of I changed this actually. I'm going to have to read it from print. It's on Twitter, but I meant to record this on ReEcho and I never did, and I'm sorry. So I'll read that one. This is called The Way He Owns Me, and it was actually inspired by M.J. Borey. I better be saying his name right, which is Daddy Writing, also on Twitter. He writes kind of stories, and a while ago he did something that was a little bit more prosy that I liked a lot because it was more between the stories and the crafting of word. I like and feeling, even with simple words, you know, I like to throw in crazy words in my poetry, but I like something that feels more personal than the stories, than erotica stories, as far as, you know, reading on Twitter. But this was something that he did that I could just hear if his was in a voice, and I did a response to it. I think his was the ways I own you, and mine is the way he owns me. The way he owns me. With words elegant, luminous, filthy, words captivating my deepest being, a resonance of prose and creating that releases pounding into a literature of fucking, filling, taking. His words incite poetry, syllable by syllable. With his voice, the sound that keys my hidden sensual, unlocking secrets, truths, and personal, taking me to my knees, plunging into my heart and mind, a leading proficiency of stone on stone gravel, whispering deep of all my hidden pink. With his hand on my face, my cheek, my neck, his large palm cradling me soft, then turning fierce and growlingly brutal, fisting my hair, gripping my neck, taking me into trust, owning every breath I take. With his lips, full of promises fulfilled, lips that caress, that drink, that sip greedy of my skin and sin, his lips that seek out all my tender, and teeth that make me want to bend and grovel into deep, willing surrender. With his scent, his smell, that presence, that power, that spicy raw that invades my senses, seeking deep into permanent memory, a scent that makes me need, ache, crave, even when he is gone, separate, far away from me. With his body, his size so much bigger, stronger, braver, weight that covers, pushes, thrusts, a body I can lay on, climb inside, a rib cage safe behind his heart where I can hide. He is all-encompassing weight, pinning me down, protecting me. With his hands masculine. Hands as big as my head that hold my waist, that push my legs high, that demand my yielding grace. Hands that circle my wrist, my ankle, my thigh. Hands that carve me, shape me, own me, fucking beautiful. With his cock, his hard, stern masculine, that part of him that fits deep into every hole and hand I have, the sleek skin created for tasting, riding, remaking. His cock is an addiction, a beast that makes me craven, begging, needing, with his attention. He owns me, hard and relentless. I am caught and captivated by every minute given. His attention enslaves me, trains me, makes me willing to give everything I have up to his needing. It burns scalding over my soul. And all of my giving, my needing, my desire for all his parts, his dark, his time, his hours. It is my everything I yield up to him, and it is my everything that ties firm him to the leash he holds in his hand. And that may or may not have been a little BDSM, Emmy. I don't know. What do you think? That was pretty vanilla. Sleepy Wave, hello. Yeah, so there's that. And we've been on 31 minutes. Thank you guys for being in the room. I see six people have come in and two people have left. So now we're with four. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. You wrote the, thank you guys. Tom wrote a reply to that. And then maybe it was the other one I wanted read. I don't know, but yeah, you read yours. That's how that came about. So the other thing, I guess I could read from a book, but I don't really want to. I should read from my book that is out now. It is a fantasy book, and it is worlds within worlds. The fantasy world building was pretty heavy. I've gotten some reviews that are like, need more, don't understand. I left a lot of room for inference, and I didn't want to do the info dump. I really wanted the characters to carry the story. I could have gone into more detail because I have the detail, but I wanted it's a fairy tale, and I wanted that to stand out more than I wanted the world to stand out. And some readers, it worked, and some readers it didn't, which is fine. So it has this fairy tale kind of beginning where it introduces a character called Corin, and I will read that to you. I should have that one open on my desktop. And I maybe, if I have time, I'll read a sexy part from it. Corin, Aaron's daughter, had no luck. Nanny had said so. Her family and everyone in the village of Riverton knew it. As a toddler, when Corin fell and scraped her hands and knees, Nanny would lift her up, kiss her sores, and tell her she had no luck. When she got old enough to help her sisters around the house, every time she dropped a dish, her oldest sister, Kate, would shake her head and say, "I can't give you anything proper to do. You have no luck." Those words were a curse over her life. Nanny loved her. It was only her superstitious way. Born under the unnatural light of a double eclipse during harvest season at the stroke of midnight, all the universe lined up to single out the seventh daughter of the seventh daughter of Aaron. In the sky, the mother and father moons turned red with omen. But her poor When her poor mother died 12 hours later, Corn's lifetime promise of bad luck descended in a permanent stain. Corn thought it was silly to think the two moons of Dorcas would care enough about one girl child in one tiny river town to turn red for the entire world to see. She'd later learned in school that a double eclipse happened for perfectly good scientific reasons, just as her mother, who had a home birth without a doctor presence, could bleed to death if the afterbirth wasn't properly taken care of. Until the day she died, her nanny bemoaned Corn's lack of luck. Every bad thing that happened in her granddaughter's life boiled down to that one fact. I love you, my dear child, but you have no luck. Someday I pray someone loves you enough to give you theirs. She asked Nanny why she didn't give Corn her luck, since her grandmother loved her most of all. Corn lived in a big house with Nanny, her six sisters, and her grandfather. As the youngest, only Nanny and grandfather had time for her. Nanny said that if she could give Corn any decent luck, she would. Her youngest daughter was gone, and all her other children lived beyond the mountains in the steel cities now. Nanny was alone. She, too, had run out of luck. Nanny said she'd done the best she could, but a good, strong man was the only answer. So Nanny and Grandfather set aside a large dowry for Corin. Corin had asked why her father didn't come back from the Steel Cities and give her his luck. For some blasted reason, it seemed to Corin that the men were the ones who had all the luck. They owned the property by themselves, sat on the town council, and decided who'd ask to marry. Nanny never answered that one. The stories of Corn's mother and father's love were legendary. People talked about the couple around the community celebration fires in an example of the greatest love they had ever seen. There were even songs to immortalize them. The village people often spoke of the lucky man from the city who came to learn the antiquated craft of net fishing with the rustics who followed the humble life. He married the fisherman's prettiest daughter, refusing to leave her behind when it was time for him to go. In fact, he built her a big house and decided to stay with her. He hadn't had any trouble leaving his seven daughters behind after his beloved died. Nanny, for all her belief that a good man would solve Corin's luck issues, worried that her father's house and the money to support it would not be enough to catch one. As Corin grew, she decided a good man wouldn't care about money or property any more than a good man might abandon his children. Nanny didn't always make the most sense. But then she'd been married her three times herself, was full of practical knowledge, and willing to share all the details of her experiences with the granddaughter who loved her most of all. Corin had been a little disgusted and perplexed and a great deal intrigued by those stories. Nanny once said that when a man gave her his luck, it would feel so good she wouldn't want to stop. That was how she would know she had it. The process sounded far too intimate and messy, but Nanny assured her it was worth it. And that is from chapter one. Let me check and see what time. It is, good Lord, we've only been on, we have a little bit more time. I don't want to go too long. I will be reposting this. I think I will go ahead and see if I can find a sexy scene and maybe read that. It's good to have a small audience. I am reading live and I'm practiced, obviously. Having a really small audience is so much less intimidating if I think, oh, I'm going to post this and 27 people are going to listen to it, or 30 people, or over a month. Usually it takes a month for more than that to listen, but people are going to hear me say these words. Should I be doing this? But it's a challenge for me to read what I write. But I think that all authors, it's the same kind of challenge to be able to read aloud your writing. And I have a personal belief that it's a good skill to have. So I will read a little more. Let's see if I can find a scene. No, I didn't have things set up and ready. Of course not. Why would I do that? I'm going to search a word and see if I can find. So Corin ends up, she gets kidnapped twice. And the second kidnapper is an Orcai. If you've seen the pictures on Twitter, good for you. But they are big and not human. Big, giant, not human. And that's all I'm going to tell you about that. I really don't describe them in great detail until near the end of the book. Because sometimes you get in situations where you're not looking at what is right in front of you. And I kind of wanted that. I don't know if you've ever done that, but you go can go days or months and the thing right in front of you, whatever it is, the issue, the person, the thing you need to do, the task that I'm just saying the same thing over and over, but sometimes there's something, the answer to the question is right in front of you and you can't get a hold of it. You can't see it. And that was very much kind of how I wanted Corin's experience to be. So she's been kidnapped and she kind of doesn't really want to be kidnapped and it's time to go to sleep and that's where she is. She had no idea what to do next. How was she going to save herself? Help the other girls? What happened back at her village? With every raider now dead, the threat to them was gone, but her sisters would have no idea what had happened to her. Would anyone know that she and the others had been taken by the Orcai? That the peace had been broken? Puzzled by the questions, unable to quiet her mind, her body still hurt. The discomfort was dull now, two mouthfuls of some nasty Orcai drink warming her gut like summer berry wine. Unanswered questions rolled in her head as the tranquil, fuzzy, relaxed feeling traveled like syrup through her limbs, dragging her into sleep. Chapter 4. Sex Noises. Corin woke when someone moved her, putting her on top of a bumpy, heated mattress, so warm. The smell of it was wonderful, pressing her nose to it and inhaling deep of the wild musk. She tried to get comfortable around the odd lumps. The cover felt like butter, soft leather, although the hard stuffing beneath felt unfamiliar. Not downy bird feathers, reed, or hay. Rest interrupted by the change, she squirmed and shifted until the bed created a vibrating noise that went right through every nerve of her body. Relaxed from the drink forced on her earlier, the heated bed, subtle vibrations and relaxing noise combined to create a liberated, easy, sweet desire. Before her moon courses started, Corin often felt that itchy, needy ache between her thighs, coupled with the heaviness in her breasts and sensitivity in her skin. Nanny told her it was the fertile time of her cycle. That swollen, hungry feeling invaded her senses as she lay on that rumbling, delicious-smelling bed. The timing was all wrong. She'd just had her cycle a week or so ago. Keeping her eyes shut, she twisted on the new place, trying to find a comfortable position. Warmer and with more give than the fur-padded ground of the cave. It was nice, but oddly shaped. She wanted something. A pulse began to throb between her legs. Sometimes pressure between her thighs was enough to find sleep. That should work. Usually, she could bunch up her covers or put a pillow there, stopping that nagging feeling. Fighting with the bumpy bed beneath her, Corin sighed in wonder when the bottom half of it split open. Scooting down, she straddled one side of the split and pressed down in relief. That had the added benefit of a smoother place to rest her head. It was still uneven, but the valley between the bumps vertically were not as deep an indentation. Petting the ridges, pressing her hips downward, she drifted back into a deeper unconsciousness. When she woke, it was to the sounds of moans. The torches were out. The fire in the pit burned low, flickering over the hulking shapes of two Orcai sitting up awake. They looked to be bent over a game of dice, Others in the cave along the walls were asleep. Several of the war beasts snored softly. The feminine moan came again, raising the hair on the back of Corin's neck and reddening her face at the same time. Sex sounds? Awareness dawned at the same time she realized her scandalized position on top of the dark-skinned orc-eye. She still didn't know his name or what to call him, but she was naked skin to skin and on top of him, with her head resting on his abdominals, hands reaching up his chest towards his neck, and her thighs wrapped around his leg. She gasped, tried to scramble off, but he had one arm on her back and it tightened with her movement. He said something to her in her language. The purring noise he made started up again. He did that whenever she acted distressed. It was like an immediate don't worry device, dulling her fears, making her feel safe. Her brain sent a message to resist. Her body immediately countered it with don't want to. Returning her head to the muscled stomach, she decided her position was comfortable. She could work with this. The Orkai original was too tired to rape her tonight anyways. With an indolent murmur, he lifted his hand, stroking and combing through her hair, easing away all the protests she should be making. A lovely sense of refuge spilled through her and over her. She might have drifted away back again to the cradle of sleep, but the moans across the cave increased, the space amplifying them, accompanied with the encouraging noises and delighted exclamations. It had to be one of the corrupted women, sounding as if she was being stimulated by a very good lover, not forced, begging for more. The intimate, vulnerable noises made Corin want to giggle. Inherently private, she shouldn't be witnessing them, shouldn't be wondering who it was. When she tried to lift up her head, the hand of her back pressed her down and was joined by another to hold her still. Not for Corin, the Orkai told her, unless you want your Ukurai's cock now. Corin put her head down, purposely toward the wall, and held very still. She didn't know what a Ukurai was, but she knew cock, and if he was offering his own, no, she didn't want that. Her naked chest rested in the slight valley of his pelvis, covered thankfully by his furred and leather loincloth, which may in turn cover the heavy iron bar of the giant male's manhood. The very idea brought her into brighter alertness and stiffened her muscles. The sex sounds went on and started to seep into her. Corin brought a hound down to cover her ears. This helped a little, but the orc-eye under her kept purring for her. The soothing sound captured in her head, her body, yet she couldn't rest until the couple stopped their activities. Finally, the only noise in the cave were the snores of war beasts, the crackle of coal-heavy fire, and two wakeful males rolling dice. And that is the end of that chapter. And yes, it gets more steamy. Thank you guys so much. Hey, Alpha Mike, I haven't seen you for a while. For coming in. Man Cave entered the sound, entered the studio. Welcome. I'm going to go ahead and finish up. I have, just to recap, I might be doing kind of late night pop-up podcasts pretty regularly. I don't know. After a brief break. I'm going to be out of town and away from my mic for a couple weeks, but after I come back, I'm going to get organized. I'm going to organize my life. Maybe, probably not. You can hope for me. You can send me organized life schedules. But I would like to do kind of a bi-monthly pop-up live stream. And so that you know when it was going to happen, if you wanted to come on and chat with me, you could do that or not. I would be reading if I didn't have company. What would I be reading? You just never know, whatever I've written. And I'm also going to try and do interviews again more regularly. Like I said, I've got a couple interviews coming out with Reggie at Six Sheets, and you will be able to find them eventually here, but also on his podcast, which is on Spotify, Six Sheets Official, his and Andrew. Andrew's on a break, and I was just helping out Reggie by pretty much taking over. I do all the talking. He's just like, you know me, I get carried away and I do the talking. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming in, for listening, for putting up with me. And I want to wish you a very happy Monday and remind you that even as I got on my soapbox earlier, that your story is important, that the message that you share with the world has value, whether it's in written form or poetry form, or whether you're just telling somebody about your life, that those things build empathy, that they build friendship, that they build understanding. And so maybe it's something I never heard before, a point of view I never knew. And if you don't share it, how am I gonna understand? So that's my thing. Isabel Ellen's Stories for Adults. Have a great day.